Hello everyone and welcome to another Press Start podcast. I'm your host Stuart Lang and I'm sorry that I missed you all last week, but pressing matters came up. But anyway, I am back this week here on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network as way of FPG News, which I am the editor now. I have another FPG staff member with me tonight for the show, so we're going to talk over the next 30 minutes or so about the big release of the last 7 days, which is, of course, Mass Effect Andromeda. So before I get into the game and we start talking about that, I'll introduce Liam, who writes the Friday review column on FPG News, generally about games with gold or new releases. But Liam, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Actually enjoying Andromeda.
You are enjoying it. Now, I said to you just before we came on, that for a little bit of sort of aside on this, you guys listening, I obviously don't know where you're from, but it only actually came out on the 23rd in the United Kingdom. I'm recording this on the evening of the 24th, so not really had a great amount of time to sort of spread wings with it. I mean, I know that Liam had the trial. He actually did a review of that for fpgnews.com. But I didn't. I wanted to completely go fresh into it. I didn't want to not enjoy it. And quite frankly, I am extremely glad that I didn't get the trial period, because quite frankly, I may have cancelled, because quite honestly, the bits that I played up until the end of what I think was the end of the trial for the single player campaign was dull as dishwater. I hated it. But I had a shot to play it today. I thought I'll give it a little bit more. I've got no idea what sort of percentage I am through the game or anything, but I've hit level 7. I don't want to give spoilers away, but I've been to a second planet. And I hate to say it, but it's kind of winning me over. Was there a point where you really sort of noticed your opinion of the game changing, Liam?
Well, I played the trial, which only brought you up to sort of halfway through EOS.
It was so the door of the vault, of the second, if I'm right.
Second Revenant Tower.
Yeah. Okay.
So you couldn't. It was gated, so you couldn't go past that at all.
Okay.
Even though it gave you access to the multiplayer, which I didn't play.
Yeah.
I was enjoying it, but I was hoping that the game wasn't going to be exactly the same as that the whole way through.
Yeah.
Because it did seem very corridor-like. You got one thing to focus on and that's it.
Yeah.
But as you say, it has opened out. It's given you more options, sort of different planets to go to and different objectives and stuff. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, it seems to have got to a point for myself, certainly, where things are sort of opened up. And I feel like I was maybe a little bit quick with my early criticisms that I took to Twitter to share yesterday afternoon. But there's a few little things that have bugged me. I mean, people are talking online. Obviously, if you are listening to this podcast, I'm assuming that you have Facebook or Twitter or have an interest in games and will have seen all of the hilarious sort of animation fuck-ups that were doing the rounds for a couple of weeks before Andromeda actually launched. I kind of see it like it's a very kind of unfortunate series of stills rather than the actual conversations. Like, I've not really noticed anything in the facial animations that have made me go, wow, that's horrendous. But there are a few occasions where people get like derp face, you know. It's like if you pause a movie at the wrong time, you know. That isn't necessarily what Angelina Jolie looks like. It's just what she looks like in that particular freeze frame. Why am I freeze framing Angelina Jolie? Fucking hell. Doing myself a misservice here. But my point stands. The only actual hilarious issue that I've had, and one of the other FPG writers, Darren, and I were talking about it last night, So I'm interested to know if you had the same sort of experience when you're first on the Nexus and you're with Cora, I think it is, and you're sort of walking about with her. She walked around like a gingerbread man, woman, or a gingerbread person. A gingerbread person with her arms stuck out. Like, if you don't believe me, anyone, if you go onto Instagram and look up Out After Dark 216, all one word, you'll see the picture. She followed me around the Nexus, walking like that, and it was hilarious. I was pissing myself laughing because it was so bad. It was like being stalked by Wurzel Gummidge. Americans, Google him. But
I think that's going to be lost on them too.
Yeah, honest. Yeah, totally lost. But yeah, like it was just.
I haven't had it with Cora, but I had it with. Funny enough, his name's Liam.
Yeah.
He did. I was the first time on the Tempest. He did like this exorcist thing, and his head just sort of turned like 180. It was quite creepy, actually.
That sounds terrifying.
I don't know if his body was supposed to follow or not, but just all of a sudden his head just like spun round to look at me because I was behind him. I was like, yeah, all right, mate, calm down a bit, you know.
You see, I'm quite worried that what we've got here is actually, and I know that you'll have some sort of affinity with this as well, like another Assassin's Creed Unity situation where this game is going to end up on lists, you know, of funny glitches or bugs or whatever. Yeah. Because, like, there's nothing that stops a game or helps a game go down in infamy in the same way as that. So, yeah, it's just.
I mean, like, they might, sort of like they did with Mass Effect 3, if enough people talk about it, they'll probably patch it or try to patch it.
Yeah.
I would imagine they're already working on one now because there's been quite a bit. So I would hope that they would be looking at fixing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange actually because a lot of the negative reviews are actually kind of telling you to ignore the animation issues. I mean, there's a particularly funny gif of I think it's a female, so it'd be like Sarah Ryder character wandering around and she's walking like John Wayne, you know, with the legs bowed out at the sides. So that's pretty funny. And like say, everything that I've seen or read has been, we're not going to include these sort of bugs in the review. We want to talk about the gameplay. We want to talk about the mechanics. We want to talk about the exploring. We don't want to judge it by something that can be patched. We want to talk about the actual gameplay itself. And I have to admit, I kind of appreciate that, but it does break immersion. It really takes you out of it at points if it's really that bad. I mean, there's the only character I've really noticed as being a bit over the top is PB, who is what type
annoying.
Of alien? Yeah, she is an alien. whichever race, I can't remember. Darren, I'm
sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. So, I remembered eventually, thanks to Liam. So good. but yeah, she has had a few moments where I've sort of rolled my eyes, but more at the character than how the character's been animated or anything like that. And I think that's one thing I'm really starting to notice is that it's kind of trying to be quite hip, for want of a better word. You know, it's kind of constantly it's winking
itself a
little bit. It's
trying too hard to be funny sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm noticing that, like, there's been points where I've been given two dialogue options and they end up effectively both being sarcastic. And, you know, you say something quite serious and it's like, yeah, well, that's what she said, wink. You know, really? Like, really? I hope that doesn't continue. But I have seen enough in today's gameplay as opposed to yesterday's to make me feel like this game's going to impress me by the end. I feel like I'm going to get quite involved in it. I've met who I assume is going to be the main antagonist. of the series. Like I say, I'm not spoiling this for anyone. I don't want to talk about story plot or anything after sort of the trial period, if you like. But yeah, flying to a different galaxy, you meet the people who are obviously going to be the bad guys, the evildoers, if you will. And yeah, they're convincing, they've got motive, it's all pretty good. And I'm excited to see where it goes, which is good because I think I checked before we came on, I'm about 5.5 hours in, and for probably the first 2.5, wasn't feeling it. I actually said to somebody that I was thinking of putting it down and focusing on Wildlands while I had a decent group to play that with. So yeah, I think I'm probably still going to jump between the two quite a lot, but I'm definitely not putting Andromeda back on the shelf.
No, the only other annoying thing I've noticed, it's probably just me personally, but I keep recognising the voice actors.
Okay.
Like, a few of them, like the Salarian pilot.
Yeah.
Can't remember his name off the top of my head. I recognise his voice, and
that's Callow.
Right, a couple of the Krogans, and I can see them, but I can't put a face to it.
Yeah.
And it just really bugs me. But
you're going to need to jump onto IMDb and have a wee look up at who the voice actors were.
Yeah, I might have to.
Just to,
because I know in the last ones, like, there was, well, obviously Seth Green, but loads of others. What's her face from The Matrix?
Carrie Ann Moss,
yeah, she was in it. Yeah. She was Arya. And it just, yeah, that's just me anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I have to admit, I hadn't really noticed that. Like, I don't, unless it's very obviously someone quite famous, like, it never really gets to me that much. Like, one that I could probably think of as an example is, I was probably one of the 8 people that played Enslaved, which came out in the 360 and actually had Andy Serkis, who was Gollum in Lord of the Rings, and also he played Ian Dury in a movie about his life, if you want to actually picture him as a human. But yeah,
was Enslaved, was that like a platformer?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, it was like a girl in like a big kind of ape like guy.
Yeah.
Really good game.
I'm pretty sure I played that,
So that's 7 of us then. Or did I say 8 people? Either way, you're one of the 10. Well done. So yeah, obviously big thing about Mass Effect is the character interaction. Now, to get a little bit of perspective on this, I have gone a male character. I have gone Stuart Ryder. And yeah, I at this point have no idea what is happening to my twin sister, who's currently still frozen in cryo, but whatever. Yeah, shrug shoulders, not bothered. I'll get to her when I get to her. Who have you got? What's your character?
I've started female. Because okay. I did the trial as a male.
Okay.
And I've just left her as is.
Just default.
With the name. Yeah. I think it's Sarah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't show up too often.
No, it doesn't. Because really everyone
refers
all
to her as Pathfinder or Rider.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
yeah, I mean, she's biotic. Well, biotic to start with, but you can, we'll probably come to it a bit later, but you can change what they are in the game.
Yeah, you can actually change what they are on the fly, which I noticed. Like, mid-combat, yeah, you can pause, you can actually change your entire structure of powers, depending on who you're facing, which is actually quite a nice touch. But yeah, we'll get to the combat just in a little bit. So we'll stick with the sort of ensemble cast of characters. As I say, it's always one of the strong points of Mass Effect. So do you have any initial standouts from the point that you've got to?
I don't know, again, it's a bit early to say. I mean, at the moment, I'm with Jarl and Vetra.
Okay.
Vetra being a female Turian. And yeah, Jarl is another one, but I won't, if you haven't got that far,
yeah,
I won't spoil who he is.
Yeah.
But yeah, they all, I've noticed none of them are particularly different as when it comes to like sort of combat capabilities.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's because you can change your skills to suit or not, but
I mean, I don't know. I've noticed that the game actually auto upgrades your team in this one. In past Mass Effect games, you were able to control a bit more the sort of evolution of your characters. Whereas in this one, they auto level alongside you. And yeah, I've swapped about a couple of team members. At the moment, I believe that I have Vetra and Cora.
Yeah.
I believe is who I have at the moment. Mainly because she has to be under my protective wing at all times. She is one of my two invested interests at this point. But yeah, that I've not really noticed when I've swapped out a character. Like, I don't feel like they're entirely great in the combat. However, I've got that problem right now where I've been playing another game to death, and I keep kind of going back to the pre-mapped buttons for that, which is Wildlands. Yeah. I keep pressing the weapon select button to bring up a map, and it's becoming a little bit of a pain in the arse. But the good thing about Wildlands is that the three AI teammates you have are pretty good in a pinch, and you can order them around pretty well and stuff. Whereas this, you've got the sort of two go there, come here sort of commands, and that's it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not thrilled with that side of things. But yeah, I think that for me right now, mainly because there's an achievement for it, I am currently sweet-talking Vetra and Cora and Suvi as well, who's the Scottish sort of co-pilot of the Tempest, which is a ship that you get. At first, she kind of rejected me, and then I started talking about her belief in a god, and she's getting into it. And yeah, maybe PB just to shut her up for a minute.
Yeah, well, I was quite disappointed. As a female, you can't romance Cora, which I didn't realise.
Which is kind of funny, considering her haircut.
Yeah.
Not that I want to make assumptions, of course. Not that to anyone listening, I don't want
stereotypes
to,
at all. No,
no, but, no, we're not adhering to any gender stereotypes.
Yeah. So but I've had to go with Suvi, because she's Scottish, I guess.
Yeah, there's. This is a bad time to tell me that you like a Scottish accent. I'll just stop talking right
only,
now.
Only on females. Don't
good.
Worry.
Okay, good. We'll good. See. That's good. I'm very, very relieved by that. No offense, but yeah.
The oddest thing is, I inadvertently, when I created my character, I created her with the exact same hair that Suvi has. So, like the red sort of long bob.
Yeah.
But yeah, that could be a bit odd. But
yeah. Oh well, that's fine. It'll be worth it for the cutscene, if nothing else. But yeah, it's cool getting around the Tempest and exploring it, talking to all the different characters and sort of seeing where they fit in on the ship. There's a few other people that I don't really know if they're going to factor in. Like, there's a guy called Gil who is in charge of making sure the ship doesn't explode or something, from the gist of I got from the brief time I talked to him. And yeah, there's a few other people, like human characters who are on the Nexus, which is like the hub of activity, which has got the 20,000 people, I believe it is, who have gone on this mission to seek a new home. And yeah, I think there's going to be a few twists. I'm looking forward to seeing where the story takes, which quite honestly, I wasn't this time 12 hours ago. I was feeling a wee bit kind of meh about it. So yeah, it's kind of, it's brought me back. I really think that, I mean, you made a great point off air, but you really need to stick with it. So yeah, I'll let you sort of fill the listeners in on that.
Yeah, well, you have to treat it as Final Fantasy 15 in reverse. Anyone who played Final Fantasy will know the world is so open for so long, then you hit chapter, I think it's chapter 12.
12, yeah.
And it just corridors you in and you have to go that one way. Mass Effect, completely the opposite.
Yeah.
It corridors you in, which I think was the best thing to do, seeing as you've got a lot of new things to handle, sort of in regards to your jetpack and a nomad and whatever.
Yeah.
But then once you've done sort of your first couple of missions and you've got your team together, the galaxy opens up for you.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, definitely. If you haven't got past sort of the first planet yet, you have to stick with it to get the fullest out of it.
Yeah, I agree. Like I say, I've been to two planets at this point, and I'm in now. Like I'm excited. Like I'm when we go off air, I've got a sort of pre-booked time on Wildlands. But once that finishes, I'm going to make sure I can get another couple hours on Mass Effect tonight. So, yeah, it's won me over, and I really hope that if you're listening with doubts or anything like that, and we've remained spoiler-free enough for you, that you will stick with this. I mean, one thing about, you sort of mentioned the teammates, I think it's too early to introduce them all. I don't want to be, I'm going to kind of spoil that, but, you know, I'm 5 hours in and I have a full squad with me. I've unlocked the achievement for getting all six sidekicks, and I feel like that's too early. I wanted a little bit of exploration to have to find at least one of them, you know.
Yeah, that got me a bit. The sort of in the last ones, it just took so long to get a full team together.
Yeah.
And in the first of them, one died. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, they should have done. If you know, that might still happen. I don't know. I don't know if teammates can change or.
I'd
something like that, but
I'm not sure. I mean, it's like I say, I think you're right on to something. I mean, if I have to make, this is in no way a spoiler at any point. We're in full on sort of predictions and looking forward, hopefully, kind of mode at this point. So don't worry about having anything ruined. I can see some sort of death, I think. I mean, one thing I did touch upon is the sort of twin element. I've not revisited that yet. So if they join your squad, like, does someone have to go to make room for them? How are they going to go? Are they going to be killed off? I think there's definitely going to be the loss of someone that you're attached to. I think there's going to need to be a couple of big moments like that in this game to bring people back to that investment that they maybe had with characters from the original trilogy. And you're right, losing a teammate in the first one the first trilogy was a big deal. Like, I remember losing three people in the suicide mission at the end of Mass Effect 2.
And yeah, the first time I played through, I did, I think.
Yeah, and like...
And I've played it a few more times just to make sure I can do it, getting all the squad.
So
because of the achievement.
yeah. I hope there's something like that. Oh, while you're on, actually, I've kind of been keeping the listeners up to date on your Assassin's Creed challenge. Your 100% on the Ezio collection. So just if you want to give them a little bit of an update, I'd sort of said that you seemed to be on to Revelations. So yeah, did you manage to finish off Brotherhood to 100%?
I've got, I think, three more to do.
Okay.
Which is Leonardo's tank, because to get full sync, you have to do it without taking any damage.
Fucking which, hell.
When you get to one part and there's like three other tanks going around, is nigh on impossible. And then once you do that, you get the parachute, which you can then do a couple of others with.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mass Effect's taking up more time at the moment. So
I think that's fair enough. That's fair enough. It's good to get the listeners up to date. As soon as you're able to get back to it, and if you manage to do it, we'll get you on really rip apart the Ezio collection on a future show. But yeah, back into Mass Effect. So we've not spoken properly about the combat yet. Few changes to people who are familiar with the combat from the original trilogy. You have the jetpack that Liam mentioned already. I like it a lot, actually, using it all the time. It's really good. Obviously, Mass Effect's predominantly a sort of cover shooter, and just adding height to these battles is something I'm really enjoying.
And the fact you can hover as well.
Mm.
I've used that quite a bit.
Yeah, basically, if you jump and hold your aim button with a gun drawn, you'll hover above them. So yeah, you can really rip enemies out of cover from all angles. And it's good, it's addictive actually. I'm quite enjoying it. I'm just playing it on normal. I've actually found the combat quite challenging. I've died a few times, not ashamed to admit. I'm slightly annoyed that you can revive teammates, but they can't revive you. Is one little bugbear on that.
I was wondering about that as well, but if they sort of put into the story it's some sort of ability only the Pathfinder has, then
yeah,
I think that would have solved it a bit. But
yeah, that's all they need to do. I mean, that's one little thing. I mean, I say the same on the FPG Wrestling podcast. Just a throwaway line to just wrap something's continuity up. I'm happy, you know what I mean? It just needs that little thing. It can be a throwaway cutscene or anything that, you know, I may miss, to be honest with you. I kind of drift off a little bit during the longer cutscenes, pick up my phone and whatnot. But it's nice to have things explained that limit you in games. You know, it's makes sense. It's better than, you know, smoke screens or invisible walls or whatever, like you get in like some Fallout and stuff. But yeah, so the combat's sort of much improved. You can sort of change up your abilities mid battle, as well as actually sort of swapping out guns and stuff and abilities. So yeah, it's kind of cool. Do you think that's going to be going to make it too easy once you become quite overpowered and you can swap amongst these abilities down the line?
It depends how many skill points you can actually get. Because in sort of previous games, if you played it all the way through, by the time you get to sort of the last hour or so of the game, you've almost maxed out all your abilities.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, you've got for each level, you get 4 points, but that can be shared between combat tech and biotics.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a sort of dealer's choice. Do you go all in with one ability, or do you share them out and try and cope with any situation?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment I'm spreading them out just until I get one that suits how I play. I'm trying to use the biotic powers a lot more. Like, I will happily admit that I kind of ignored them during the first three. Like, I think Mass Effect 3, I didn't even use my biotic powers hardly ever. So, except for maybe, like, you know, a sort of frag grenade kind of one, which I've already upgraded in this a few times. I can't see me not using some sort of thrown explosive. But we'll see how the game leads me, I think. Or if someone...
See, I was always different. I never used grenades.
Okay.
Never used them.
That's weird. Like, maybe it's just, I kind of said this
in a... This is taste, I was in it.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of explained my stance on that away during a sort of chat with someone, just regarding how we were getting on with the game at first. And I kind of forget about biotic powers and stuff, because at the end of the day, it's a human character. And I know that, you know, it's the Omniblade that does it or whatever, you know, but or Pathfinder abilities, whatever you want to say or do about it. But at the end of the day, it's a human character. So I quite like that, keeping that base of realism. You know, like, I can throw a grenade, but I can't magically lift someone off the floor. That's total playstyle choice. And yeah, it's kind of why I didn't romance aliens either. I wouldn't want to sleep. Oh, I wouldn't want to sleep with an alien Garrus. In the first place.
Yeah, no, I made a female and romance Garrus.
Fair enough.
I was curious. I just had to know what it led to.
you were Krogan curious. Oh no, Garrus wasn't the Krogan, was he? Sorry.
He's the Turian.
He's the Turian. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I was just curious about it. Yeah. I just thought, yeah, why not?
Well, we all have moments in our life where we think about certain things a different way, just even for a moment, eh? Or, you know, an entire Mass Effect playthrough. So in closing up, I feel a lot better about this game now that I'm a few hours in. I'd kind of implore you guys, if you're listening, if you're playing it, or if you started and put it down, or maybe didn't bother after the EA Access trial, if you accessed that, don't listen to the reviews. I think this is still a good Mass Effect game. It's probably not up to scratch with 2 or 3, but there's nothing in this that's making me think that it's not as good as the first one so far. I find the first one really difficult to go back to. So if you are a Mass Effect fan, realistically, I think if you can just part your brain from how good the original games are or were, I think this is good. I'm not disappointed. I don't want to really give it a full score until I have played it all together. I mean, it's right now not on my, I think it's, well, sorry, it's in my top 5 games of the year because I've only played 5 games this year, like new release titles. But yeah, I mean, it's, there's certainly nothing wrong with it, and I think that's all I can say. If you have been on the fence, hop off the fence, get down to your local game shop and pick up a copy. What do you have to say about the game before we go off here? Just in a general, all-encompassing way.
I mean, definitely, I don't think it's ever going to sort of be the original trilogy. Yeah. That's once in a generation thing. But it's definitely, if you take away them three, it's still a good game in its own right.
Yeah.
You just have to ignore some of the dodgy graphics. I don't know why. Maybe they try to go sort of too overpowered with the updated graphics card or something. But it's Mass Effect. It'll have a good story, good combat, and I've enjoyed it. Obviously, you're enjoying it. I don't know why you would not, really.
Yeah.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Exactly. Like I say, certainly nothing to alienate existing Mass Effect fans. So yeah, I think all in all, my tweet on my tweet yesterday of calling it Mass Effect, probably a little harsh, actually. Probably a little bit harsh. So I'm not going to delete the tweet, but if you want to see it, hit me up. It's out after dark 216 on Twitter and Instagram. If you listen to this and you decide to follow me on either of those platforms, drop me a note and just say that that's where you picked it up from. I'll follow you back. We can talk games, wrestling, whatever you want. Likewise, check out fpgnews.com daily for new articles, music, movies, video game reviews, wrestling content. Got it all over there. Perfect chance to plug what you have for us in the sort of previous and coming week, Liam.
I've got today New Games with Gold, which is Evolve. Just FYI, it's terrible.
I think your score is generous. Honestly, I think your score is extremely generous. I'll not give it away on air. Hopefully a couple of people click onto that to see what you gave it, but I think you're really kind to that game, man. Really kind. I fucking hated it.
Yeah, I played it, I uninstalled it, almost straight away.
Yeah.
You know, I try to be kind, because I know, like, a lot of effort goes into doing these games, but, yeah, it was, I can see why it was free to play, you know. Yeah. No one brought it, so they tried to give it away.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit that I actually, I'm one of the people that bought it. I did pick up Evolve, because I kind of wanted it to be a replacement for Left 4 Dead. And that was just really stupid of me. Like, thinking that it was going to compare in any way to the masterpieces of Left 4 Dead. But yeah, if you, I said this to you last time you were on, if you're able to pick up Left 4 Dead 2 at any point, Liam, I will absolutely teach you how to get the most out of that game, because it's a bloody masterpiece. But yeah, that's kind of it for the show. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Liam, if you want to say anything just before we close off. Which I've kind of done already, but yeah, just plug yourself then, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Stuart said I've got new review every Friday. It'll be Games with Gold. It'll be a new game, something from my backlog that I haven't reviewed on the site before. That's about it.
Cool. But yeah, thanks very much for listening. Obviously, make sure you're tuned in to the Radulich and Broadcast Network. I know that a couple of the guys got together and reviewed Iron Fist, the new Netflix show, on the network a couple of days ago. So if you have listened, or if you watched that show, sorry, been put off, there's a siren screaming along my street right now, so sorry if you can hear that. But yeah, there's the review of Iron Fist, so get over, check that out, see if you agree with the guys' thoughts on it, as well as obviously the staple of the Radulich and Broadcast Network, which is the Ground and Pound radio show every Sunday after the UFC events. But yeah, that is it from the Press Start podcast. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Hope you tune in next time. And if you want to hear more of my voice, check out FPG News on iTunes throughout the week. We'll be doing our WrestleMania preview this coming week, so get involved with that. Otherwise, that's been it. I am going to jump into the wildlands and shoot some banditos. So yeah, peace out. Thanks for listening.